Hello everyone and welcome to the Round 16 Trade Targets and Preview Livestream. Long time no see. Saw a lot of you only just yesterday evening, but so much new information has come since then. We've got TLT, Greg Marzu can't make the team bus and has left a lot of us an extra player short. Eli Katoa out, Carnage. Who else is out? Stefano Tokomanu out, Carnage. Mitchell Moses now, Origin, Carnage. Why do we play this game? I don't know why we sometimes play this game, but the carnage is what makes things interesting, and I'm glad that you all are joining me today, whoever's in the chat as well, to share in the pain, share in the carnage of TLT for round 16. Second biggest bye week of the season, obviously, and obviously lots of big inclusions, you know, due to the New South Wales team news and some exclusions as well that we just mentioned. So lots to get through tonight for sure. Firstly, we'll say hello to people in the chat. Jake Young, I love this. I love this chat. Not that I don't. I encourage you all to work very hard, but I do like this. Zoom meeting or a man stream? Sorry, boss, I'm not feeling well. Yeah, look, you know, it's okay. Chuck a sickie for my stream. I'll give you a pass for that one, Jake. Peanut Gallery, thank you for joining as always. Tried some trade angles this week and just can't find any I'm 100% keen on. These buys are doing my head in. Yeah, the buys are definitely a big headache. And this feels, this next few weeks feels more difficult than the whole round 13 one. Round 17 is shaping up to be a very tough week to cover as well. Hello to Donj. Dane Gagai said at the start of the year, but did you buy him? If you bought him, Don, then congrats, well done. He scored 86 points last week. He's continuing to kill it. Happy days when Aman is streaming. Thank you very much. Davey K, Jason, Aman, my savior. Oh, please don't look at me as a savior. I'm ranked 7,500. Surely I can't be helping you guys out that much. Gregosaurus has stuffed me. Yep, he's stuffed me too. Did Aman get a haircut from Anthony? Oh, the haircut comments are out already. Blake Trevo, nice haircut. Yeah, you all love my hair. Great. You love my advice, hopefully, and you love my hair even more. Great to hear. I started the stream a little bit earlier, which is good, but we'll get straight into it. Obviously, lots to cover. And look, I've tried to pick out questions from Twitter. Unfortunately, I forgot to put the post out on my YouTube community tab. But obviously, if you're watching here on YouTube, you'll be able to post your comments and stuff. And yeah, we'll try to answer your questions at the end. Hopefully, we'll get you some 5-10 minutes just for strictly Q&A. But yeah, we'll try to get through everything for sure. Quickly, what I'll just do is show how I went last week. So I ended up on 1344. The updates were pretty minimal in the end. It was a 600k rank rise, so it was pretty small, to be honest. I was hoping for a bit higher. 7,500, look, we'll hopefully try to keep pressing on, but it does feel a little bit difficult to move up at this stage still. But yeah, let's see how we go. We'll keep pressing on. And shout out as well to James from Team Nosebeers, who's ranked 40th overall. He's topping our group league. And all of the top 10 sitting in top 134. And a shout out as well to Luke from McCloskey United. Assuming by that flag, he may be a Pommy. So don't hold it against him if you're, you know, a cricket fan and the Ashes are coming up around the corner. But he scored 16-31. So very impressive score last week. And there were some big scores last week. Like 13-44 is a great score on any normal week. And that was a round rank of, what was it? 25,000. So like it was like a top 16% score, so it didn't even feel that special. But anyway, round 15 done dusted. Let's talk about round 16. And I've got this Origin rest periods up, but I probably won't get into it too much. I've just had it put in there that we may be wanting to refer to later on. But again, quick look, I will give us another plug as well for my newsletter that I did last week. I'll do another one this week. Might not be out tomorrow, just given work commitments and stuff, but I'll try to get it out by Thursday. So if you are wanting to potentially have a read of that, or if you want to see how my one was from round 15, I'll put a link for the chat below. I'll post it on my socials as well. But have a read of the round 15 one, it's completely free. And yeah, look, I'll look to do another one this week. The way that I'm thinking about that newsletter is just starting it every week, just taking a look at the draw, just looking at difficulty, just to so you got kind of get a good idea of, say, over the next 4 to 6 weeks, who are potentially the teams that you might want to be targeting players. And I've started sorting it by difficulty in terms of Supercoach points conceded, so it's a little bit more relevant for us than kind of, say, strictly team-based rating. At the moment, the way that I've got it from round 16 to round 21, not too much of a change from last week. Obviously, it's only 1 week removed. Panthers, Parramatta Sharks, and the Rabbitohs are in the top four. So, you know, people are looking at Sharks players like Mulatalo, Nico Hines, obviously. Obviously, it's a great matchup this week. They probably have the singular best matchup this week on a on a matchup perspective. The bye in round 17 is a pain, though, so definitely is something to be watchful of for next week, and that you're not hurting yourself too much for next week. But after that, they've got a dream run. I don't think after round 18 they have another bye, because they missed round 13 and they had a bye early in the season. So I think they've got a clear run home as well after the bye in round 17, and a pretty good draw after that as well. So I think they're definitely a team that you can look to invest in. Penrith, you know, maybe probably more if you're looking to hold players, like maybe a Hosking, for example, you hold for this week and maybe next week against the Knights. Parramatta, obviously myself included, went on Mitchell Moses because, look, there was obviously a possibility of him playing for New South Wales. It's happened. He's playing halfback for the Blues, so out for this week. But there was a good matchup last week, and I'll probably, like, just early thoughts as well with Moses. If you can, I would hold him if you have bought him, because that round 17 is a tough bye week, but he's got the Dolphins. That looks like a good matchup. They have moved to the bottom in terms of Supercoach points conceded. Obviously, a little bit distorted by the fact that Garrick, Turbo, Cherry Evans all went 100-plus last week, but they have been a little bit leaky in the last few weeks as well. So definitely still looking at, you know, Parramatta players like Gutherson, Hopgood, for example. Madison named at 5'8", as Blake says. Madison at 5'8 could be a solid, to be fair. Yeah, I think he used to play 5'8 for the Roosters when he was like a junior or something like that. So I think he's actually played that position in the past, and he's a pretty skillful player as well, so he could definitely do well there. But down the bottom, you know, Dolphins I've got as ranked bottom because they've got two byes in the next 6 weeks, and those games are Parramatta, Broncos, Titans and Penrith. Titans maybe is okay, but the other three don't look fantastic. Bulldogs down the bottom as well. So I know Matt Burton is available for this week, but, you know, given the tough matchup this week and the bye in round 17, fairly tough games coming up as well. He's not getting a lot of talk. He's not getting spoken about a lot. And if you're wondering why, that potentially could be a reason that the Bulldogs draw is not very good for the next few weeks. Cowboys is a similar thing. But yeah, I think you look at the teams towards the top, and I think this whole stream, I'll probably still focus more on the round 16 players. But, you know, looking at the Titans, for example, they don't play this week, but they will be the first team that has no more buys left for the rest of the season. So if you're umming and ahhing about trade-ins this week and you're not sure, it is also just worth waiting and seeing. Maybe you want like 5'8", for example. If you're unsure about Ponga, maybe you go like a Brimson instead next week, knowing that, you know, look, he may be out round 19, but he is potentially an option that longer term you may want to hold. But anyway, I think I'll probably leave it at that in terms of the draw difficulty, but it's probably just good to have a bit of a rough idea in mind in terms of who are maybe the teams that you still want to be targeting over the next 6 weeks. But the first topic of the week that I thought we'd get onto is more of a general macro one. So a couple of questions that I got just about round 16 and kind of the numbers that you might want to have for this week. So this question, I think it was from NRL SC Merseyside Reds, something to that effect on Twitter. Apologies if I've got your name wrong. But he says, I have a decent 14, assuming one of Nico and Moses is out for Origin. Given his trade situation, he's considering saving trades. Am I crazy, or is there any must-have? So what I wanted to do, just to have a step back, just to have a look at kind of who are maybe the must-haves for this week. To be honest, in my opinion, the only must-have I think this week is Nico Hines, because, look, his confidence is maybe obviously a little bit down after a pretty poor performance and being axed from the Blues. But this is kind of one of those weeks where the matchup is really, really good, and he's going to be very heavily captained, and it feels very tough to not have him this week. So I think he's probably the only player that I think I would be considering a must-have this week. There's lots of really good options that I've got a big list here for. You know, maybe Garrick, Meaney, Gutherson, Ponga, Preston, Hopgood, Brent Nicara, Mulitalo. Maybe Matt Burton I've got there as well, because despite the tough draw, he's actually been doing quite well over the last few weeks, and like a John Bateman. So, and then I've got a kind of another category of solid options. So look, Manu, to be honest, probably would be a great option for this week, but I think moving forward, probably someone that you can look to offload. Maybe like a Drinkwater as well at fullback, but he does have a tough draw, as we saw the Cowboys on the previous section. Dom Young and Dan Gagai, as Don Jay mentioned earlier in the stream. You know, the Knights have been looking a lot better in attack. Their draw for the next few weeks isn't great, and they don't cover round 19, but this next couple of weeks could be good for Newcastle, so I've kind of put them two in the solid options. And Buller, solid option, is more reflective of his matchup this week, which is the Storm, so it's obviously tough, but in terms of how he's performing, he's been killing it. So I think this is just kind of my general thoughts on maybe who I think are generally the better targets. We'll get into some of these players obviously in a lot more detail. But if you're considering, you know, like who are the absolute must-haves, to me, it really only feels like Nico Hines, especially if I've got the I've got the games that are featured for this week as well. Sharks, Penrith, and Parramatta and the Roosters probably stand out in terms of the opposition. But, you know, even with the Roosters, you know, they're not... If we actually go back, sorry, just very quickly to that draw difficulty. So I've got the average Supercoach points conceded, but also scored. The Roosters are the second worst in scoring Supercoach points on average per game this season, which is astonishing when you think about it. But when you look at them in real life, it makes complete sense. Their attack has been pretty poor. So, you know, yes, the Knights matchup looks good from conceding points point of view, but are the Roosters actually going to score that much? Based on what we're seeing recently, probably not. And so I think this is something that, you know, Penrith just stand out massively as well. They've got the most average Supercoach points scored and the least conceded. Kind of matches up to the eye test. I think that Penrith are looking like, again, the team to beat this season. So yeah, a few interesting things there as well. Like the Sharks, for example, in attack are very good. Defense-wise, they're doing okay. But, you know, some of those teams like Parramatta as well, you know, they're scoring quite well. But yeah, anyway, I think we'll kind of leave it at that in terms of the more broader macro. Oh, sorry, the one other thing I will mention, this other question came in, is how many players is the minimum amount you would be acceptable having playing this week? Now, before this team list Tuesday, I probably would have said maybe like 15, but the way things have unfolded with Moses being out, Eli Katoa being out, Marzu being out, there's someone else I'm forgetting off the top of my head, Oichikamanu, I think people may have been looking at him as well. Now my thinking is, if you've got 13 and it includes Nico Hines, to be honest, I think you can probably just leave it at that. If you've got 14, great. And when I say 13, it probably means 13 semi-decent players, and you're not relying on like I would include someone like Sonny Luke in that, for example. So for me, 13, I think if you've got this week, is fine. I think you really just need to be careful of round 17, because Bulldogs, Tigers, and the Sharks being out, the Sharks especially a team that we want to invest this week, but you're going to potentially leave yourself short next week as well. So I think you can, I think this particular buy as well, I kind of said it in round 13, but it feels even more so this time around. Look at this week and the next week as a kind of a combined buy period. So yes, if you're a Marzi owner, you may want to sell for Mulitalo, but you know, Mulitalo is going to be missing next week and Marzi could be back. So, you know, effectively over the next 2 weeks, they're going to play the same amount of games. So I think just keep that in mind as well with your trades this week. Yes, you may gain in the short term, but, you know, for next week, you may still find yourself over the 2 weeks to be in the same position. And I think with trades, you want to maybe be just trying to conserve them if you can, possibly, in terms of, you know, if you've max traded. So I think in terms of the amount of players this week, I think a good 13 is fine. You only need 13 to score this week. If you've got 14, 15, I think you're, to be honest, I think if you've got 15 semi-decent players, I think you're well ahead of the pack. And in terms of trades left, I would say, well, we're in round 16. We've got this week plus another 11 rounds to go, 10, 11 rounds. I think if you have about 15, 16 trades, I think that's about okay. But you will definitely be in the back end hoping for not to have rests or to have injuries. So I think 16 seems okay. If you've got more than that, I think you're fine. Any less, I would, yeah, be very much questioning, I guess, the amount of trades that you're using here and there. All right, that's kind of some of the macro stuff done. Hopefully you found that useful. I think we'll get into some of the more hot topics now. The first one is obviously the halfback in the 5'8 spot, because of the likes of, you know, we spoke about a lot last week with Nathan Cleary, Dylan Brown, and you know, Mitch Moses, for example. So I think Hines, I've already mentioned it. Look, he's got a very high break even of 126, but I would be getting Hines in this week if possible. There's one question I had pulled from Twitter, which was Moses to Hines. Like, if you honestly had no other way of going to Nico and you had to just sell Moses, look, you're actually making a gain on sale from doing that. Look, I would still probably do it, in my opinion, because I think Hines is someone that you want to have for the run home. Now, I want to see what you guys think in the chat. Let me know. Let's say New South Wales lose game two. What do you think they'll do for game three? Do you think that they'll keep Moses in game three? Or do you think if it's a dead rubber at home, Freddie puts in Nico Hines? I wanna hear what you guys think, because I'm pretty torn, I guess, on what happens, because, you know, I like to go through the expected points, see how many games players are going to have, you know, over the next, say, 6 weeks. But it really, like you can see with Hines and Moses, I put 4 to 5 for Hines and I put 3 to 4 for Moses. And that's dependent on if Moses, for example, plays game three, then he's only playing 3 games over the next 6. If Hines is playing game three, then he only plays 4. So I'm kind of up in the air about what I think would happen. I think my first reaction was that I think that Moses would still play game three, even if it was a dead rubber, just because, look, he's put him in and he's, look, I don't know if Hines will have a feeling, will be able to feature in the squad altogether, similar to this week. And yeah, my feeling is that Moses would play game three as well, even if it was a dead rubber. But look, I tried to predict Freddie last time in my newsletter. I was trying to predict the halves for New South Wales and Burton. I got that all wrong because look, I don't know everything. So I've given up trying to predict Freddie, too, if I'm being honest. But let's see. Let's pull out some of what you guys are saying because I am quite keen to see what you guys think. So Brayley's saying Moses will play. Joshua Hughes is saying keep Moses. Hines, no chance. Aaron is saying should be a Nicho. Peanut Gallery saying I could see both being an option, but I'd say they keep Moses. Jake, yeah, this is one thing that Jake, what you're saying is that if New South Wales lose, surely he gives Nicho a no pressure chance. Maybe, but look, I guess if New South Wales loses, Freddie coaching them next year, I'd probably say the majority of people would say, look, he's probably with the squad that he's had over the last 5 years, probably not maybe won enough games or enough series, and he's made some random calls. So I think there's no interest for him to blood Nicho Hynes in game three, I guess. So if I had to guess, I would say that Moses will play game three, irrespective of result. But I can definitely see the argument for Hynes to come into game three. Yeah, so for me, I think based on that logic, let's say if we think Moses plays game three, then he'll play round 17. I assume he backs up. It's a 2 day turnaround, but I think he would want to back up for the Eels. He would miss 18 and he would miss 19. Then he'd play 20 and 21. So he would be only playing three of the next six, at which point, based on his season average, we're estimating about 215 points. And based on that logic, if Hines plays the four games, so that's say plays 16, 18, 19, oh, sorry, I've got Hines for four games. That should actually be five. My mistake. That should be five games for Hines. Oh, yeah, sorry, five. Yeah, based on Hines' season average of 94, five games at 94 is we're talking 470 points. I think that shows that, look, if you had no other way, if that's the way you think that the Blues will go, and your only option to get Hines is via Moses, it's probably a trade that I would do, if I'm being honest, because I think it may not pay off, obviously, the next 2 weeks, given that Moses has another game round 17. But I think based on the draw as well, I prefer Nico's draw. And yeah, look, I think based on those kind of expected points, I would say that's probably a reason why I would maybe do that switch. But ideally, I would try to hold Moses, I still think, because if you have the Hines Moses combination, you're kind of hedging against whatever Freddie decides to do in game three, because both of their teams play round 19. So you'll be able to still at least get one of the two in round 19. So my preferred approach is if you can afford to hold both of them, then do it. Because really, the only other halfback I think you want long term is Cleary. Cleary won't be back until round 20, I think round 20, round 21. So even if Moses misses round 18, you can cover for that. And look, at that point, you can maybe sell him to say another short-term punt, maybe like a Moses, or not sorry, not Moses, maybe Moses to like a Munster via duels. That's an option in round 18. But at least, if you held him for round 20, 21, it's games against the Titans and Cowboys. They're not bad. And at that point, I think you can look to sell him to Cleary at that point. But I think Hines for me, yeah, looks probably one of the best trade-ins this week. And to be honest, if you like, I've got the other options this week as Jerome Hughes, Burton, Ponga. I mean, you're probably not going to be doing this, but I think if you're in the position where your halves is like Moses and Hughes, I would probably sell, yeah, Moses to Hines. Let's say you had Burton and Ponga. Oh, no, Ponga's in your 5-8, sorry. But let's say you have, I don't know, Burton and Hughes. Yeah, I'd probably sell Burton, for example, to Hines. I just think Hines is that good this week. And yeah, it'll be very, very scary to see him not in your squad, I think, this week. And I've got those shades of that 180 on his return in round five in the back of my mind as well. Let's see what Oyster Commander getting picked says it all from Hamish. I don't I think I pers I look Oyster Commander I think is fine as a pick. I wouldn't have done it myself. I think I would have probably preferred to go with, I mean, look, I'm not a coach, but Kalomatangi can play in the middle. I would have liked Kalomatangi getting a chance because he can play edge and he can play middle. Campbell Gillard would have been the preferred option, but he's only back for one game, so it's been a little bit tough. So look, maybe you go Clemmer, but it seems like Clemmer's just completely out of favour for New South Wales. But yeah, I think based on what I'm seeing in the chat, I think more people are thinking that Moses would stay in game three, and I'm kind of leaning that way too. So that probably answers the whole Moses to Hines question. I think if you're in the first question, hold or sell Cleary and Brown, there's definitely an argument to hold Cleary because you're going to want him for the run home. But if I were not owning Hines, let's say I had Cleary and Moses, for example, I'd probably sell. I'd probably sell Cleary. At least you know that Moses will get you three games. And then you can trade back to Cleary. Unless, say, you're really low on trades, then maybe you just go Moses to Hines and you've got your two halves for the rest of the season. Yeah, I guess you're right, Josh, about, you know, they've already got Martin and Murray to play edge middle. Look, I won't get into it much more, to be honest, because, look, I'm just a fan. I have an opinion. But Freddie's chosen Stefano, which is fine. Look, Stefano hopefully kills it. As a Blue fan, I hope he has an absolute blinder and proves to be the right call. But yeah, I think in terms of the alternate halfback options, look, if you're a Dylan Brown owner as well, just very quickly, he's got another court date, I think, in 2 weeks. But I don't expect that court date to be a resolution on, like, yes, he can play, yes, he won't play. So I think at this point, I would probably just sell Dylan Brown, because I think there's no, you know, especially if you've got the likes of a Ponga available this week. I think Ponga is looking really, really good. I like him as a long-term 5-8 pick. You know that he's not going to be playing State of Origin. Draw is not fantastic and doesn't cover round 19. I think the Roosters matchup at home, though, is good. I think that's definitely points on offer there. Bulldogs in round 18, I think, is a great matchup. Tigers around 20. Look, we'll see how the Tigers look this week. But without Appy, without Luke Brooks, they could be by then still. They'll probably be without Appy still at that point. So I like Ponga for that week as well. And look, I think he's just been, on the eye test wise, he just looks much better as well. So I think if you're a Dillbags owner, and let's say you already have Hines and you don't have the duels, you know, Dillbags to Ponga is probably a move that I'd be pretty comfortable making, and you pocket over 200k doing that. Other halfback options like Jerome Hughes and Matt Burton. For what I mentioned earlier with the Bulldogs draw, I don't love it. Burton's been really good. He's got a 5-round average of 81, which is definitely not to be underestimated. So he still seems to score points even when, you know, the team is not doing very well. But I think the buy in round 17 also is not the best, and that draw doesn't look fantastic. So I probably wouldn't be going Burton. Jerome Hughes is probably the other halfback to consider. I know he had some interest last week, and he obviously killed it last week with 119. Good matchup this week with the Tigers, and you'd expect him to be running the show, I guess, this week as well with no Grant or Munster. He's had that one really good game. I'm still not, to be honest, completely sold. I mean, look, he looked really good, but he did get a late try in that game as well against the Sharks. And I think without that, he probably would have been sitting in the high 80s, which is fine. It just feels like he needs to do a lot to get those 100-plus scores, where Moses, look, he had a cracking 20 minutes, but to be honest, fairly quiet after that. Still ended up on, like, 89. I know Nico had a poor game last week, but the week before he scored 90 with one try assist, I think. Like, I just feel like he still doesn't have that ceiling that these other guys have. So Hughes, I think, is good for maybe a short-term player, given that he will cover round 17. But I think come round 19, round 20, you're definitely wanting to be trading him, I think, to back to Cleary. So yeah, for me, I think I would still be looking at just Hines. And any other option that you pick is probably just going to be an eventual bridge to Cleary. So I think just take the chance maybe with any short-term option. But I think ideally, if you're low on trades, maybe you're fine to hold Moses as well. Aaron is asking Schuster to Ponga. I mean, I haven't got Manly. Let me just quickly look at Manly's draw. Sorry, just to jog my memory. So it's not the best. I mean, you've got Parramatta, Storm, Roosters, and then he also misses round 19. I can't remember Schuster's break even. Apologies. Let me just quickly bring it up. Yeah, look, he's got a break even of 60. He has maybe close to peaking in price, 450k. Look, I think that's probably a move I'd be okay doing. I don't think those are bad. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing trading out active players this week, when especially if they're like these guys who've maybe peaked in price. Like if you're upgrading Billy Smith to Mulatalo, I think Mulatalo has enough of a ceiling this week that he could cover Billy Smith's score over the next 2 weeks. I think Ponga plays next week anyway. So yeah, look, Schuster to Ponga, I think, is a good move as well if you can afford that. And look, yes, you're obviously meaning you're not gaining a player this week, but that's not always, I think, the thing. You know, you're looking at the big picture there. I think that's a good move. I mentioned Brimson very briefly earlier as well. If you're not looking at Ponga, for example, he is maybe someone that you can consider. I got him down for 5 games there. I should correct that to 4 because I forgot that he is the 18th man for the Queensland team. So he would be 4. But his season average at the moment when he plays 80-minute games is about 68. So in those 4 games, he'd be scoring close to about 280 points, which is, I've got him slightly under Ponga. So I still think Ponga wins out in that respect over the next 6. And to be honest, I think I would probably prefer Ponga just for the rest of the season. Obviously, he still comes with a risk about HIAs and stuff, but the draw home for the Knights is pretty good. After the round 19 bye, we're looking at Tigers and Storm. After that Storm game, it's Raiders, Dolphins, Bulldogs, Rabbitohs, Sharks, and Dragons. It's not a bad run, to be honest. And they've got their last four games are all at home. So I think Ponga, to be honest, if you're looking for a longer-term pick, I do like him as an option. I do think Brimson is definitely also equal consideration. He's a little bit cheaper as well than Ponga. So I think the Titans' run home isn't as good. They've got games against the Sharks and Penrith and Melbourne in the run home. But they do benefit from having no more buys after round 17. So I think if you're on the fence still with Ponga, you can maybe wait and go for Brimson. But I think that draw for the Knights on the run home looks pretty good. So I really like Ponga as a trade-in this week. There was a question earlier as well that on my Twitter, someone said, go Ponga or wait for Munster. Look, Munster, I think, is going to outscore, on averages, Ponga for the run home. And they've got some pretty good games as well to the end of the season. The Storm do. They've got like Knights, Raiders, Dragons, Titans, some pretty decent games in there. We know that he is a gun. And he's only 60K more expensive than Ponga as well. So I think, again, if you can hold out, maybe you can bring in Munster next week. But if you need the trade in this week, then yeah, look, it's probably Ponga for me. All right, I think that's probably enough there. I won't go too much into someone like an SJ, for example, because he's not playing this week. But again, if you're not sold on the likes of Hughes or Burton or these other replacement halfbacks, you can just wait for SJ because the Warriors are killing it. He's killing it. And they've got a pretty good buy schedule as well. They only miss round 22, but that's a pretty easy week to cover. It's just a single week. And their last five games are Titans, Tigers, Manly, Dragons, Dolphins. Like that round 23 to round 27 is a great run of games. So SJ could be really nice. Short-term draw, not as good, but those last 5 weeks look really good as well. So again, another reason maybe you could just wait for an SJ, for example, in your halves. All right, I think that's probably all I have to say on the halfback and 5/8. We're going for half an hour, Jesus. It's a lot of time on that. I've got second or forward targets here. I probably won't spend as much time on this. I think I spoke about this probably in a bit more detail in the last week or two, especially last week as well. We had a lot of debate about Bateman and Nicara. I think if you don't own Bateman or Nicara, I think one of them is still a very good trading option this week. Bateman's been named at lock. You can see the last three games for his base power, 67, 75, 72. Like, he's got an insanely high work rate. Now, they probably will struggle in attack without Coruscant and Brooks, but as a middle forward, it doesn't really need to matter for him. He's going to get through his work. And after round 17, I don't think the Tigers have any more buys as well. So if you can cover him for this week, then, sorry, if you can cover him in round 17, I think for a run home, he would probably be in my top five 2RF. So I think he's a good trade-in. He's got a low break even of 54 as well, which you think you can cover. So I still like Bateman as a trade-in. I haven't actually seen him, I think, in the top 10 most traded in players. So if he's not, look, he's probably going to be the solid option for you. If you're chasing the ceiling this week and higher upside, it probably would be Britton Nicara. He is cheaper as well. So I think if I was trading one of the two in this week, it would probably be Nicara, just given that he's cheaper and the matchup is so much better, in my opinion. And the extra games after round 18 are a lot better as well, I think, for Nicara. So definitely would go Nicara this week of the two. You know, Nicara scored 55 last week, getting a sin bin against Melbourne's team who absolutely flogged them. So I think Nicara looks solid for 55 points and could have been like 60, 65. But yeah, I think with the games coming up and Hines, if Hines is in form, we know that Nicara can benefit as well. So they're still probably my top two trade-ins at 2RF, but I'd probably switch the order now to be Nicara first and then Bateman. Third is, probably still Hopgood. I think Hopgood was, again, very solid last week. I've put in Madison here, but I probably wouldn't, to be honest, go him just because he's named at 5/8, so maybe the base might be down. And it's his first week as well back from a calf strain. So it's kind of those muscle injuries, which gives me always a little bit of doubt. Now, Homoli Oluquatu, put him in here. He was in the top 10 traded in players. He had, I think, 75 last week. So he had a pretty good score last round. And obviously, Manly completely flogged the Port Dolphins. 75 points last week. Now, his base stats are a little bit low, I think, than the last couple of seasons. But we know that he's a guy who relies more on the attacking stats. Draw-wise, up until the bye, isn't fantastic. Parramatta, Melbourne, Roosters. I mean, maybe that Roosters game at home. And it's a standalone week, which will include the likes of Turbo and Cherry Evans. So Oluquatu could profit there. Run home wise, after round 20, there's no more buys left for Manly. I think he's good for his for the price. 530K, I think, is a very good price for him for what you know is a proven kind of former Supercoach gun. I feel like he's just not got that. He hasn't got the safety of base points, I think, as Bateman has, nor do I think he's got that ceiling of Nikora. So he definitely still ranks well below those other two, in my opinion. So I think if you've got the cash, I would still go the other two. But I think, you know, for a pretty good price saving on Hopgood, and it looks as though the Parramatta forwards are coming back. You know, Campbell Gillard came back last week, Madison back this week, Sean Lane is on the extended bench. It probably means that I would maybe just rank Olakau'atu slightly above Hopgood in that regard, because you're getting a pretty good price saving, and, you know, Olakau'atu may, if you take a chance on him, you may be able to get good value out of him at 530K. So I think I'd probably just about shade Olakau'atu in that ranking. But to be honest, I haven't got him in the graphics here, but I've got him in the expected points. Kalomatangi, I still think, is a very good option as well in your second row forward. I probably would have him ranked third, I think, behind Nikora and Bateman. And then maybe Olakau'atu, and then maybe a Hopgood is probably how I'd rank those five. I'm going to quickly pause there. Thank you to Steve Levers and Gazaraki for becoming members. Really, really do appreciate the support. I've seen it as well from Jason. Thoughts on Sorensen? So Scott Sorensen obviously plays this week. We saw early with the Panthers, their draw is fantastic. Honestly, the only reason I haven't got him in this list here is that he's 745K. He's got a break even on 96. Look, he averages 69 points for the season, but look, he has got two tons in his last four games. 100 last week and 175, obviously. He scored that in round 11. So we know he's got a ceiling, and then we know that the draw is good. I don't know. Maybe this is me being a little bit, like, too biased to what I know he has been in the past, but, like, I'm looking at his last three season averages, 42, 41, 44. Now all of a sudden he's averaging 69. Look, he has looked a lot better this season. And he probably will be good during this Origin period, don't get me wrong, because of the likes of Liam Martin and Isaiah Yeo probably getting their minutes managed. But 745K just feels so expensive. I mean, you're getting like Nikora for 100K cheaper. Like, for me, it still feels like I think you would go Nikora instead. And yeah, look, 93 break even is slightly high, but I like, and that's from Brayley. But then Don J retorts with against the Bulldogs, he will smash that. I don't know if he'll smash 93, but yeah, look, I think Nikora's got a fair chance of going 83 or 80 plus. Yeah, so for me, I think Sorensen just feels way too expensive, Jason. But look, the numbers are good. I can't argue with him. He's got that ceiling. But yeah, I still prefer the likes, just longer term. You know, I still think the likes of Nikora, Bateman, Kalomatangi, like, Sorensen just doesn't feel like he would be in my top four or five second row forwards. Luke Garner is back as well. That's a good point from Alex Ruffini in the chat. Yeah, Luke Garner is named on the bench. I'm not sure how longer term that will affect Sorensen, because I think as soon as Isaiah Yeo and Liam Martin are back, I think Luke Garner drops out again. So I'm not sure if I would worry too much about Luke Garner. It's not even that, to be honest. I think for me, it's just the price. It just feels very expensive. Another thing with Olakau'atu is that, yeah, look, he won't have Cherry Evans this week, so that obviously might hurt him too. So that, again, is another reason why the price is good, but probably ranks a little bit lower in my opinion. Still think I prefer Kalomatangi ahead of him. Just quickly on 2RFs, this question is coming in from Jaden. Wilton, hold or sell? Look, this week I think you hold him for sure. It's just the matchup is really good. He scored 58 last week. That it did include a try, so his base stats were a little bit down. But look, he's still averaging 62 for the season. His break-even is 69. It's not that high. For me, Wilton, I think I'd keep this week. And look, if you want to move off him, maybe you can do it in round 17. You know, maybe you can go Wilton to a round 17 back rower. Maybe you go to Olakau'atu, for example. Maybe you go Kalomatangi. He'll be back. But one downside of Kalomatangi is that the Rabbitohs still have a bye in round 20, and they have a bye in round 26, and they have a bye this week as well. So they still have two more byes coming up, whereas the likes of Nikora and Bateman have just got clean runs for the rest of the season, which is something that I do like about them. You just don't need to worry about them, and I don't see their roles changing. I mean, maybe the role change for Bateman. I just see their minutes just being very safe for the rest of the year. IPAP an option from Blaze. I mean, IPAP, look, he's much cheaper now than Bateman, but I think that's for a reason. 522K. He did move to the edge for a lot of last week's game, which is encouraging, but even then, the base is down 43 in base. Without Brooks, I mean, who knows how Stafford Toll at 5'8". I mean, he looked okay when he was there, but I feel like with IPAP, I need to see it first. And he's got a 62 break even. I still think Bateman for me is the go. Even with that price difference, I still think I'd prefer Bateman out of those two for sure. I think Bateman is just the way that he's going. I think he's safe for like 65 points in base power each week. So it's just, you don't have to worry about him. And if you jags a few, you know, if you jags a couple of attacking stats, he could get you an 80, 85. And then over the rest of the season, that's an average of maybe about 70. I just don't see IPAP at the moment kind of matching that, in my opinion. Jackson Ford, I've gotten this list here. Look, Ford, for example, if you're looking to upgrade Ford to, say, a Bateman or Nikora, I think that's a pretty good trade, in my opinion. Ford has been pretty underwhelming, and I think he's probably not a season keeper, so I think he's someone that you can look to move off. Now, very quickly, I will touch on Fifita, because there's a question come in from Hamish Hunter. Is Fifita a must-sell if you're going to trade him back a few weeks later? This is exactly what I'm battling with myself this week with my trades, because I'll get to my team later and stuff, but I can, in one move, go Fifita to Hines. And that way I keep Moses, and it's a very, and I can pocket like, what, like 180k or something going Fifita to Moses. To answer your question, Fifita is definitely not a must sell. I've got him over the next six, assuming he backs up in round 17 and round 20, I've got him playing four games, and just assuming a season average of 83, that's 332 points. That's still higher than Bateman playing five games. It's a little bit under Nikora, but it's higher than, say, like a Kalomatungi, just based on season averages. So I think Fifita for sure is not a must sell, because I think even if he, let's say he even misses one game, and let's say he gets three games, if he goes three good games and averages like 75, 80 points, that's like 210, 220 points. Yes, which is under a few of these other options, but he's a guy that you're going to want to have for the run home. So look, last week I was pretty keen on him as a sell. I still think if he's your ticket to Hines, I would still probably do the trade. But I think with him, you just need to be conscious of your trades left. Like Hamish says, you've got 15 trades left. If I do, I'd go to Nikora. Yeah, look, I can see the benefit of Nikora this week. I think you just really need to weigh up as well. Have you got the plan or the trades to get back to Fifita? And also, you are missing Nikora next week. I mean, look, granted, it's a tough game for Fifita and he is backing up. Just actually, this is the reason why I had the Origin slide up earlier with the rest periods. The Titans do have a 3-day turnaround. So they play Wednesday next week, and then they've got this Sunday game. So there's an option that Fifita still plays maybe 40, 50 minutes. Look, the thing with Fifita is he probably will leak cash. So selling him, there's probably a good chance that you can get back to him. I think you just need to be conscious of your burning two trades to go him out and then back in as again. So definitely not a must sell. How much cash does he leak, do you think? I mean, look, at the moment, he has a break even of 169 points. So even if he went and scored like 80, at his current price tag, he's 897K. Look, if he went and scored a season average of 83 with a 162 break even, sorry, 162, look, he'd probably go down in price to maybe, I'm trying to guess what it could be. I probably need to plug this into an actual price change calculator, to be honest, instead of guessing. So I think he would probably lose about 60k. And so this is, let me quickly bring this up if I can. Hopefully you guys can see this. Okay, no, I don't think you can, sorry. But basically what I did was I chucked it into the nrlsupercoachstats.com website's price change calculator, which I definitely encourage you guys to go on. While I do that, let me put a quick link in the chat. So I'll just put that there for you guys. So what I've put in is I've just put in his predicted average and score at 83. It's projecting that he will lose 60K and his next break even would be 175. So even if again he scores 83, he would lose another 70K. So there's a good chance that, say, he probably looks to be going to about the mid 750s. So he probably would lose maybe another 150K, assuming he sticks to a season average. It could be more if he goes and, you know, gets reduced minutes backing up. So you could be getting Fifita at maybe 700K, which means, look, maybe he's at a price tag that you can actually afford to go back to him. So on that basis, I think if you can, look, you can sell and go to Hines, but definitely not a must sell. I've got Tino in the table here as well. Tino, for sure, I think is someone that if you can target in your front row forward, he's looking fantastic. Scored again a try. I know questions about whether he should have been suspended or not. I'm not going to weigh in that much on that. But yeah, for me, Tino is looking like a great front row forward or second row forward target as well. All right, I think we'll end it there on the second row forward chat. Seeing some questions about Mazu, so we'll get onto the center wing. I will get onto hookers after because I know there's some questions I've seen before about Jerome Marshall King, Jake Simkin. Don't worry, we'll definitely get to that. I'll just quickly touch on the center wings first. Thank you, Scott. Also, I love the new haircut. You guys are too much. You guys are too much. But look, I'd rather you say that you like the haircut than you didn't. But yes, so I think on the center wings, just very quickly on Mazu. So I'm seeing this from Simon Crockford. Mazu to Mulatalo. If you're short numbers this week and you want to chase and you're in a rank, maybe you would just need to try chase points. I think fine, go for it. But I'd say very rarely, like most of my responses, you know, based on your team would be just to hold him. I'll read the quote that came out. I'll read the quote that came out from the Newcastle Knights about his whole missing the team bus and whatnot, because I think there was a bit of concern that maybe he'd be out for longer than just the week. So this is what happened. He wasn't considered for selection because he failed to meet team standards. Knights director of football said that Greg missed the team bus early on Sunday morning, which is a clear breach of team standards, and as a result, he will not play this weekend. That's all the statement is. The way it reads is that he's just being punished for missing the team bus. Now look, I don't agree with that because the Knights need to win games. And look, if you want to punish him, just fine him like 5, 10K. But I guess if they've set up very high standards for themselves, then good on them. They have been playing better, so maybe that's what's working for them. As a selfish Mazu owner, I would have hoped that he just copped a fine and played this week. But alas, what can you do? But I do think Mazu will be back next week. And I think the fact that he plays 17, look, it's Penrith, which is obviously very, very tough. But in my opinion, like, Mazu has shown enough this season. He's averaging 77. We saw his ceiling last week with Ponga playing well. We spoke earlier about Ponga's, the last five games for Knights look really good. I think Mazu is a guy that I think the job security issues, I think I'm not as concerned about because he's had a good long stint in the team. It seems as though he's just being disciplined for 1 week. Now, if he's out next week, then that's a different story. That does make me a bit more concerned. But I think in most scenarios, I think I would hold Mazu. Unless you're really short on numbers this week and you need to chase points, then maybe you're fine. Mulatalo would probably be the option I'd trade to. But I think otherwise, all other circumstances, I would be holding Mazu. Question from Tim. Would you sell Eli Katoa? By the way, your hair is looking fantastic. You guys are too much, too much. Would I sell Eli Katoa? So this is Tim Moody. Okay, so this could be the Tim Moody. So, yeah, Tim, what's tough with Katoa is that he doesn't play around 19 either. And it's a strange injury he got because I thought it was like a really bad cut, but it sounds as though it was giving him some blurred vision and stuff. Now, look, let's assume he's back around 17, 18, but then he misses round 19 again. If I do my whole expected points business, so let's say over the next 6 weeks, he'll play 17, 18. He misses 16 and 19. So he'll play four of the next six. And at a season average of 58, let's call it 60, 240 points. I mean, look, he could be a good option at 550k, but to be honest, if he's your ticket to like Nicara, Bateman, Hines, for example, with duels or stuff, he has got 109 break even as well. So there's a chance that when he comes back next week, he will leak cash. Yeah, look, he is probably someone that I would be fine to sell, I think, as well, because, again, I'm thinking of my top five. He probably would maybe sneak in as a top five second row forward, but in that list, I'd think Fifita, I think Nicara, Bateman, Hopgood still potentially as a top four second row forward, Klomatungi. I think there's plenty of other good options there, and I don't think Katoa quite sneaks in my opinion. So for me, yeah, look, Katoa, I think, not an easy sell in terms of, you know, like, he's not at a high value. But look, he's someone I think, yeah, you can look to move on. Sorry, I'm late, Martin. Fresh cut. Nah, that's it. Fresh fade, Martin. You're all understanding now how to get me to look at your questions. You just got to talk about my hair. anyway, on the center wings, so I already spoke about a little bit about Mulatalo just then. I do think Mulatalo is the best center wing trading option this week. I think I mentioned it for weeks. I think he is the best trade-in of the Sharks' backs and, again, scored well last week. And we spoke about their draw. Really like him as a trade-in. Just be wary of your round 17 numbers. But if you can cover for him, I think he's a really great trade in this week. I definitely would be targeting him. And you can look at him as a season-long hold as well. Now, a few questions about selling To'o. Haven't really considered that, to be honest. With To'o, I mean, look, To'o will miss this week. He will miss round 19. Newcastle, Melbourne, then the bye. Round 20 against the Dolphins. Now, that could be one of those games where Ivan Cleary just decides to rest all of his origin players, because he may back them up again for round 17. But then he could have them all out in round 20. Like, To'o's been good. I mean, the last 3 weeks, I mean, he's got a 5-round and 3-round average of 70. So he's been really solid. So I don't think you have to rush to sell, but this is the problem again. Mulatalo is probably the guy you'd want to trade to, but, you know, Mulatalo misses next week as well. So I think if you're looking to go for chasing points this week, then yeah, fine. I think he's probably someone you can move on, but I think we are starting to see from Penrith, I think the run home, they're looking really good, and I think they'll all start to click again. I think for me, if you can afford to hold To'o, I think he's a good hold, because I think he's playing for a gun backline, and he's starting to look better as well. I think the start of the season, maybe not quite as much, but well, not even that, to be honest. I'm looking at his scores from the beginning of the season. They're pretty solid as well. Yeah, for me, To'o, I mean, I think I'll try to hold him if I could. How is Garrick's BE so high after scoring 169? Well, I think it was because of that really low score he had a few weeks ago. He had a 55 and 108. Look, probably once that 55 drops out, I think his BE will go really low after next week. Okay, let's see. Is Carlo Aluapu a shout for a cheapie from Fourth World? So I haven't got a section on downgrades this week, but in my opinion, no. I just think 5-8 is a spot that you want to be targeting. I think your gun plays, in my opinion. In terms of other guys, so Manu, look, I've seen a few questions coming about Manu to who. Please don't sell Joey Manu this week. You're fine to sell him next week if you can cover round 17. But please, he's playing at fullback. I didn't run the numbers, but basically when Manu plays at fullback, he's close to a Supercoach weapon. He is a Supercoach weapon. He's a prime vice captain shout this week. He's got a relatively high break-even of 86, but I think he can clear that. If you want my biggest two biggest pieces of advice this week, bring in Nico Hines, and please don't sell Joey Manu. That's all I'm going to say on that one. You can move him on next week if you want. Please do not sell Manu this week. Hey, look, if he scores poorly this week, you can come after me. I'll cop it. But if he goes big this week, don't have me standing here saying, I told you so. I don't want to be saying I told you so. Please hold Manu this week if you can. Despite how poor the Roosters are going, at fullback, Manu can just run, and he may set up one try and go 90+. Karaz, to be honest, isn't really firming. I think is a great trade-in this week. He was getting a bit popular the last couple of weeks, but I think with the Bulldogs just not looking as good as the beginning of the season, I think the draw is not fantastic. He's someone I think you can afford to avoid. For your higher upside goal kickers, I've got Nick Meaney and Garrick. I think Garrick's still a fair trade in this week. Obviously, probably don't expect 169 points again because there's no Turbo or Cherry Evans. But look, he's playing right centre where apparently he's an absolute god. So never doubting Garrick again playing at centre wing. Apparently, he wanted to play there. He's apparently played all of his juniors there. Ruben, you can do whatever you want. Just keep goal kicking and keep giving us 169 points, and you can do whatever the hell you want. You can play lock forward if you want. I don't care. Just keep getting me 100+ scores. Nick Meaney, a bit strange that he scored like 63 points last week when the Storm put up a lot of points, but I think he's still someone like, look, if you already own Mulatalo, for example, I think he's still a fair trade-in because he covers this week. Doesn't cover round 19, and I don't think you need to worry about Ryan Pappenhausen, to be honest. I think that still seems to be a fair few weeks away. Now, if you want a couple of pods, Will Pennicini is maybe an option. He scored 72 last week. Parramatta still have a pretty good run of games coming up. I've got him for playing 4 games over the next 6 for 305 points. If you want pods, I think the Knights are maybe an option. Dom Young I've got here, -5 break even. He is a very hot and cold player though, so you just need to accept the fact that you are getting a very, you know, low floor, high ceiling guy. He's got base stats of 21. His low score, I mean, I'm just going to read out his first 4 scores of the season. We'll do the first 5. We'll do this first 5 scores of the season. That probably gives you a good idea of the scores you may expect from Dom Young. 9 points, 89 points, 25 points, 148 points, and then 59 points. Like, we're talking 2 sub-25 scores. We're seeing an 89, almost 150, and like a 60 score. So, like, he gets all across the school band. So he has got that ceiling. He's got 111 last week. And look, when he gets in the clear, he's a great sight to watch. You can make a little bit of money off him as well. So I think if you're looking for a cheaper option at center wing, he's maybe a worthy pod shout to go for. I probably won't do it because I don't think I have enough. I think I've got too many center wing spots filled already. In terms of the center wing options who are a little bit cheaper, I can see this from Blake. Probably would have to be, I think, Junior Palgo or Palga from the Roosters. He's been named again. He's 265k. Suli, he still has 2 more weeks of his suspension. And so I think if you're looking for a downgrade who might nuff out, it's probably going to be him. But aside from that, you know, maybe Valens Tavare next week. But if, for this week, it's probably Junior Palga. I don't really think there's too many other options. A couple of super chats. Thank you so much for this, Gazaraki. $5. Drop the hair maintenance routine, Aman. Look, okay, if you guys, okay, if you, I can't believe I'm talking about this on an NRL Supercoach stream. So if you want hair maintenance, it might sound gross. Do not wash your hair with shampoo conditioner that frequently because it kills your hair. Wash your hair with shampoo conditioner. This might sound gross, but honestly, I'll probably do it once a week. And that's because I go for a swim on Sunday mornings now, where like it's full of chlorine. I feel like I need to wash it. But apart from that, I don't use shampoo conditioner. So it keeps the hair nice and healthy. And I also have, and instead what I have is I have a leave-in conditioner spray. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm going to find the Schwarz. It's a Schwarzkopf leave-in conditioner as recommended to me by my barber. It was fairly cheap. We're talking like 20 something bucks. Yeah, look, you can buy it at Cold. It's 250ml and it lasts ages. $6. And it lasts ages. You only need like 2 or 3 sprays. On the days that you're not washing your hair, just spray it in there. It keeps your hair looking healthy and it's good to go. So there's your hair maintenance routine, Gazaraki, for $5. There you go. Jake, $10, thank you so much. A little token of appreciation for all the effort you put into these graphs and charts. Seriously, bro, you must spend so many hours a week doing this for us. What a man. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Look, it's all done for the fun of it, as I say. I commute to the city for work, so it's great on the morning and on the way back. I can just work on Supercoach stats. It gives me something to do. So yeah, don't stress about it. Yes, it takes some time, but I'm all here for it. Are you willing to bring Manu in this week trying to fish the VC score? Oh, would I trade him in this week? Again, if you've got the trades, at least he covers round 17. So if you had to hold him next week, you can. In the chance that Teddy doesn't back up, there's a good chance that Manu again plays at fullback. And he's at a cheap price, 540K. Look, you know what? If you've got the trades, I don't mind trading him in and maybe trading him out. Or you can even buy Jules, just put him in your 5-8 for a little bit as well. So I think for me, yeah, look, I think that's still a worthy shout if you want to try to get that VC loop. Aman speaking the truth on the hair routine. Aman talks hair maintenance. Aman talks hair conditioner. You guys are hilarious. Love it. Love it. There was a question on Gagai as well. So yeah, look, Gagai's been killing it. 86 points last week. It doesn't look like he's going to get back into the Queensland team at all this season. So based on him playing the next 5 games, season average of 70, 350 points. To be honest, I probably should have included Gagai in here. I think if you're looking for a pod, he's preferable to Dom Young in the sense that, look, he's more expensive, but he's super safe. Base out average of 40 this season, lowest score is 37, highest score of 109, but he just consistently hits these 50s, a couple of attacking stats, and he's getting 67, 77s, high 80s as well. Yeah, look, Gagai, I think, he's a bit better in the sense that the Knights draw isn't great, but he's a bit more matchup proof. So yeah, look, I think Gagai, if you want to go for a pod as well, to be honest, yeah, I probably prefer him to Dom Young. I think really solid as well. All right, I think we'll quickly touch on the hooker position, and then I think we'll go into vice-captaincy, and then we'll do probably a more strict Q&A section. Came for Supercoach, stayed for hair tips. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Okay, quickly from Fourth World, trade Johnston or Marzu to Mulatalo. To be honest, if I was to trade one of the two, I think for the next 6 weeks, I'd rather have AJ. But for the rest of the season, I'd rather have Marzu. So I think it kind of depends, because the thing is with the Rabbitohs, they do miss this week. They miss round 20 and they do miss round 26. Whereas with the Knights, I think I'm pretty certain that after round 19, the rest of the season is bye free. So to be honest, I think you could maybe look to move off Johnston. It's a bit scary with Cowboys, Warriors, and Bulldogs, but Warriors are playing well, and I think that's an away game as well. Look, the next 3 weeks may hurt, but then the bye in round 20, you'll have Mazu, because the run home for the Rabbitohs isn't great. Broncos, Tigers, Sharks, Dragons, Newcastle, bye, Roosters. Okay, to be honest, it's not that bad. There's no real tough games in there. But if I had to sell one, yeah, it would probably be still Johnston. The fact that he just has more buys than Mazu, and I think Mazu's probably shown to be a bit more consistent this season. All right. On the hooker position, there was a couple of questions about, well, there was a couple. There's lots of questions about Jake Simpkin, you know, trading Sonny Luke to him. To be honest, if you really want to get rid of Sonny Luke, I don't mind going to Simpkin, because Simpkin looks good for the next kind of 6 weeks with Coruscant out. I think De Silva has been named on the bench for the Tigers, who is apparently a pretty up-and-coming gun for them. So I don't expect Simpkin to be getting 80 minutes. He played 65 last week. I expect Simpkin to be playing 55 to 60. And so I think, based on that, I probably think he's going to be averaging about 40. So I think 40 points might be solid enough. But to be honest, I think with the hooker position pretty much being so meh, I think, if I were a Sonny Luke owner, and I think, you know, he is a number this week, and Sonny Luke, I think, is really cheap as well at the moment, isn't he? I think he's like 220K or something. Let's have a quick look here. He's 221K. So yeah, look, it's only a 10-15K jump to Simpkin. Again, I think it comes down to trades. Are you able to go Simpkin and then maybe upgrade him? The thing with Simpkin is, yeah, look, you might get to, say, 380-400K, but you're probably going to have to trade him out again, I think, eventually. So I think, for me, it's a trade that you could do. It's definitely an upgrade in the sense that Luke's just been really poor. But it feels like a trade that, you know, you are burning trades to get to another option, I think, down the line. And with Hooker being so meh at the moment, like, Cook and Robson out this week, Grant's out this week, Jeremy Marshall King is out this week. The only notable hooker playing this week is Reed Marnie, and Reed Marnie's not been crash hot the last few weeks either. So for me, look, I still think it's a trade you could do, but I think if I was low on trades, I'd probably just hold off, if I'm being honest, just because of the trade you need to burn. And you can maybe look to upgrade to someone else next week. You can maybe go to a Wade Egan, for example. He's got a season average of 61. I'll quickly tackle Jeremy Marshall King. So for me, there was a question that came in from YouTube was, is Jeremy Marshall King a sell now with this AC joint issue? Galway saying Jeremy Marshall King to Simpkin given his shoulder. So I listened to the NRL Physio's Magic Spun podcast yesterday, and he did mention that AC joint issues are an issue for middle forwards. So like, say, your props, your locks, and your dummy halves. But I think the fact that the Dolphins have a bye this week does help. And the way that hooker is as a position at the moment, he has been probably the second best hooker all season. I think I would probably lean towards holding Jeremy Marshall King. And because the thing is, he only has another bye in round 21. The draw is tough, but look, he's a middle forward. I just think the way the position is, I don't think you need to be burning trades at the moment to be going down to Simpkin. Because I think, to me, if I had Marshall King, I'd probably just hold him at this point. Like, if you're a Grant Jeremy Marshall King owner and you have no hooker this week, I'd probably just keep it, if I'm being honest. So yeah, for me, hooker doesn't feel like a position I think I'd be making a lot of trades at. I think Grant showed last week why he's the option to want to go back to. And I think you can pair him up with whoever. Like, for me, I've got Marnie and Cook. I'll play Marnie this week. Even Damien Cook, I've only got him playing 3 games, given that he has bye in round 20 and misses round 19. Maybe in round 19, I might move him on for Marshall King, if Marshall King is looking better, and then I can run home with Marshall King for the rest of the season. But the way I'm looking at it is, I think I'm just trying to minimize, I think, trades at the hooker spot. It just doesn't seem to be a great position to target this season so far. KO Week's an option, not for me personally, because, look, as soon as the Origin players are back, Turbo's back, Cherry Evans is back, I don't think Weeks is getting considerable minutes. He's probably going to be like a bench player or maybe out of the squad altogether. Like, he didn't play last week against the Dolphins. So yeah, no, KO Weeks not an option for me. I think job security is just very poor. And other cheaper options, maybe a Jake Turpin. The issue with Jake Turpin now is that his stats are good, 49 and 56 in base power over the last 2 weeks. But you've got Brandon Smith, I think, firming for return in round 19. So it feels a bit short term still. I do prefer Turpin probably to Simkin for points potential in that period. But I think it's the job security of the issue with Brandon Smith is there with Turpin, I think. So look, Turpin will be solid for like 50. So I think points are better than Simkin. But again, feels like another trade out there you'll have to do. So I think for me, I think just don't worry about your hooker spot too much. Unless you desperately want to get rid of Swanee Luke, I don't mind the Simkin move, but to be honest, I don't think it's one that you need to force just with the way that position is at the moment. All right, we're coming up to about, we've gone just over an hour in the stream. I did have a section on fullbacks. Very quickly, I'll mention, Kennedy maybe is an option as a trade in this week with the Sharks draw, but misses round 17, so don't love that. I really like Penrith's draw, so I think if you're still looking for a fullback, maybe Dylan Edwards is the way to go, but I still think Gutherson, look, he's not 67K, sorry, I think he's 670K from memory, but Gutherson showed last week that he does have a ceiling on him. It did require three tries, sorry, he's 677, not 670. And he will be goal kicking this week as well, which I do like about Gutherson, but without Brown, without Moses, forwards are back, so he just might. You know, Manly is not a super easy game as well, but I really like Gutherson for, you know, the games outside of that buy in round 18 are quite good. And the fact that he covers 19 probably means I'd still prefer him to, I still just about prefer Gutherson as a trade-in over Edwards. So if you're looking for a fullback, I don't mind going Gutherson this week. In terms of who you sell, it's hard because I think if you're owning the likes of Reece Walsh and Turbo and stuff, they're probably options I'd still try to hold on to. But I think if you're able to move to a Gutherson, I like him a lot as a trade in this week. Buller will probably, look, no one's selling Buller this week with a break even of 20 and at 692K. I think we'll just have to wait and see what happens with Buller. If you want to move off him next week, potentially because of your shorter numbers, you know, he probably will be almost peaked in price next week. But he plays round 19 as well. So there's another reason to hold on to Buller. But yeah, fullback feels like a very difficult spot at the moment to be trading at the moment. I think the best two, you're probably Gutherson, probably Buller, purely for this week, I think, or maybe a Dylan Edwards. Yeah, look, Gutherson's not 67K, apologies, that was a typo. Okay, very quickly on the round 16, captaincy and vice-captaincy. For me, I think there's really three standouts. It's Gutherson, it's Manu, and it's Nico Hines. Probably add Ponga there as a fourth option if you think that the Knights are going to do well against the Roosters. At the moment, for me, it's either going to be VC Gutherson, given that he's goal kicking, or VC Manu. I think I'll lean towards VC Manu just because we know of what he can do at the fullback spot. He's shown it before in Supercoach last season against the Dragons, scored 191 at fullback. Like, the man is sometimes just an absolute animal. Last week, he scored 51 against the Penrith Panthers without. He had one line break assist, but that was it. So 51, look, he's not working for the Roosters in the halves, but look, for Supercoach point of view, we like it. And playing a fullback, I think he'll be amazing this week. So Newcastle have been okay at defending fullbacks, ninth best. So they're not generally conceding a lot of points at fullback, but I think Manu is a bit of a potentially an exception. So Cameron's asking, should I VC Manu or Garrick? To be honest, I think I would still VC Manu. I just think, I don't know, I just think him at fullback just feels very different. I mean, Garrick still definitely is a shout. Like, Parramatta, they definitely clocked off in that second half against the Bulldogs, and they can be scored against. I just think Garrick without Turbo, without Cherry Evans, just doesn't feel like he might have, like, if you're expecting 169 points, again, I just don't see it. He might be, I don't know. It's definitely worth consideration. I've not really thought about Garrick that much as a VC. I've just been kind of thinking more about Manu. I know the Knights shouldn't be considered an easy matchup on paper. They've been pretty good, but I do though. I just think that the Knights are more likely to concede more points than say the Parramatta Eels would. So again, for that reason, I think Manu is probably where I'd be looking to stick. And the Roosters need to win a game very badly. So I just feel like maybe there's a chance that Manu goes well this week. And you will get a free chance at a VC loophole this week. So again, look, I think the standout captain is Nico Hines, of course. And I think given the potential of Hines in that game, in terms of a VC score that I'd take, it would probably need to be like 90 plus, I think. Like if Manu got 79, Look, I know there's a risk of Hines going down injured or something, but even 79 points that you could bank, I think I'd lean towards still going Hines, because I think Hines this week could easily go 130, 140 plus. So for me, Hines is the standout captain by far. And I think VC is where you try to go maybe a little bit more different. Manu, Gutherson, Garrick seem pretty good options. No Gregosaurus means that Roosters will actually win a game. Well, let's see if the Roosters win a game. I don't think Marzi is going to make that much of a difference to the Knights. But yeah, look, obviously they'll miss his work rate out of the backfield for sure. Ponga for sure is still also a vice captaincy shout, just on touching on that game, given that he's playing quite well. But the Roosters still, despite their issues defensively, have been okay. And, you know, only conceded, they're the 13th best at conceding points to fullbacks. So they're seemingly still being okay. Gutherson, to be honest, is actually who I first put the VC on. So I still might lean Gutherson, given that he's goal kicking. I think for me, it'll be one of Manu or Gutherson. I haven't really considered Garrick, so I don't think I'm going to try go with my initial gut feel. So I think it'll be one of them too, and I'll probably go Hines captain. But we'll touch on this a bit more, I think, hopefully on throughout the week as well. Yeah, this is a good point from Jake, just on Manu. He was good when the Roosters were good, but I think he's safe for an okay score. But with the Roosters' form, I don't know about him going huge. Yeah, look, that's definitely a worthwhile shout. And we touched on it before, their attack has been woeful. Second worst in scoring Supercoach points. That tells you everything I think you need to know about the Roosters' attack. So I think if you're not feeling Manu, I think it's perfectly viable to go against him. VC Gutherson is definitely a shout. And the thing with Gutherson is that he's super, I've heard this as well from interviews with Parramatta Eels. Apparently he always just is daylight ahead of every other player in that team from a fitness point of view, similar with, say, like a Dylan Edwards. So I feel like Gutherson taking more of a responsibility is fine. I think he has that ability to just, he's always across the park. So I think no Moses or Brown. He could just pop up everywhere, could get try assists, goal kicking. I like Gutherson as a potential pod VC shout as well this week. All right, that's everything in terms of the hot topics. Very quickly, I'll just talk about my team. So let me just check in my settings that you guys can actually see this, because sometimes it doesn't show up. Yeah, hopefully you guys can see that. But yeah, this is my team at the moment for round 16. Guys, apologies, my voice is killing me again a little bit, sorry. So I have hopefully tried to answer your questions, but I don't know if I'll be able to stick around to do the Q&A section. But in terms of how I'm looking for round 16, at the moment I have got, let me see, Christian Welch is out, which is fantastic, suspended. So I've got Marnie, Edwards, Bateman, Nicola, Preston, Dury on the bench. So I'm not really going to count him. So let's say I've got five and a half Dury, six Schuster, seven Garrick, eight Taruva, nine Manu, 10 Billy Smith, 11 Gutherson, and 12 Buller. So 12 players, 13 if you count Matt Dury. So I'm on 13, which is annoying because I was expecting to have more with Marzu being available, but he's not, so that's that. So I'm currently on 12 good players, I guess you can call it. So for me, I think for me, the first trade that came to mind was getting in Hines, of course, and I could easily go Moses out, but I think I'll want Moses next week. So for me, it's probably going to be Dave Fifita out, I think, for Nico Hines, and I can do that via duels. So I can swap Schuster up to my second row forward, swap Isaac Toa to my 5'8", and then I can bring in Hines that way, and I've got like 200k in the bank. I think for me, that's probably a dead set, it's pretty much a locked-in trade that I will do. And that gives me 13, and I might not need to do any more trades then this week. Now, unfortunately, I would like to also get rid of Isaac Toa, but with 200k in the bank, I don't have a great number of options to trade him to at 5'8", I'm 100k short on Ponga. And even via duels, let's say if I put Minor to 5'8", even the center wing options for the price at about 500k, Karaz is probably the only one that stands out at that price, and he's out next week, whereas Katoa actually plays next week. So I'm thinking I might just chill, do the one trade this week, get in Hines, or captain Nico Hines as well, Gutherson or Manu vice captain, and that'll be that. I'll have 13 players. Now, this is a very good point from Cyril, What's your plan for next week 2RF? You have three starters, all on the bye. My 2RF next week will be absolutely grim. That's for sure. That's one problem of selling Fifita for Hines, is that it leaves me with basically zero starters in my second row forward. And the thing is, Bateman, Nicara, and Preston, I won't be selling, I think, next week either. So I will think about it a little bit more. If I need to go Fifita to Hines, maybe I could go Moses to Hines instead. But I don't know. That was the very first thought that came to my head with trades this week. And I found this season, the first trade that comes to my mind is generally the best one. In terms of how I'll get Fifita back, I would have to bank on him going down in price. At least if I'm bringing Hines in this week, I've got him locked in for the rest of the season. 17 trades left with 200k in the bank. Look, next week I might just have to cop being short numbers in second row forward. Otherwise, what I could do is I can go one of Manu or Billy Smith out via Jack Howarth in the duels, and I can go to a second row forward that way if I want to go to a 2RF. So I could potentially improve the second row forward that way. The only issue with the second row forward is that I think Preston, Nicker, and Bateman I can kind of use season-long holds, and really the only other guy I'd want to eventually get back in is Fifita. So I might just have to cop having a poor second row forward next week, but I can maybe go there via duels. or maybe I do something with, if I go Isaiah Katoa out, maybe I go Schuster back to second row forward. Maybe there's a cheap second row forward that comes out somewhere. I haven't really thought through in too much detail about my second row forward next week. Next week will be a problem for me, that is for sure, because with the Tigers, Bulldogs, and Sharks on the bye next week, I'm automatically already next week losing Buller, Hines, Nicara, Preston, Reed Marnie, and Harrison Edwards, and Bateman. That's a lot of people. We're talking like seven people there, I think. Plus, I've got Jack Howarth and Matt Drury, kind of bums. And Matt Drury could be out this week because Sean Lane's on the extended bench. So for me, like, I could be really short next week. So that's kind of another reason why I'm thinking maybe next week, maybe I just do the one trade this week, 200k in the bank, and leave myself flexible from next week to be to be able to manage next week and what happens. Like, in that next week, I could sell Harrison Edwards, for example, 200k in the bank. You know, maybe I do like a double, maybe I go like Welch out and bring in like a Tino, or maybe like a Payne Haast, maybe to get another gun back. Or I sell Matt Drury, and like I could maybe go Schuster and Matt Drury to like a cheapie and a gun second row forward. I don't know, something like that. But anyway, I think I'm thinking this week just that one trade. Because I think it's a week that, look, you don't have to go crazy on trades. I think you can just, the way that players have dropped out, I think it makes it a little bit easier just to stick solid with maybe what you've got. Do I have enough trades to bring Fifita back? 17 trades feels like enough, so fingers crossed. Sorry, I missed the majority of the stream. Are we considering Jeremy Marshall King a sell? No, I'm not considering him a sell. Alright guys, sorry, my voice is starting to fail on me. We've gone for an hour, 14 minutes. Apologies if I wasn't able to get to everyone's specific questions, but hopefully, if you've joined the stream late, please do go back and watch the rest of it. I will put timestamps as well, hopefully afterwards as well. What's my team value? I think it's like 14.6 million. Sorry guys, I can't get to, I probably won't have time to get to the questions, but I'll see if I can do a Thursday Q&A stream this week. I can't even remember when the first game is. No, the first game's not until Friday. So maybe we do a Friday Q&A stream. So we'll try to, for sure, I think either Thursday or Friday, do something for you guys for question and answer. My poor voice is starting to fail on me. So I think we'll wrap it up there. Guys, if you really did enjoy the stream, do appreciate a thumbs up. Really appreciate all of the kind comments. We got to talk about hair routines and haircuts and whatnot. So I love that we can go in all various tangents and directions while talking Supercoach. So it's good fun. But yeah, I will put timestamps, so hopefully get, you know, guys who joined late, get your questions answered without you having to rewatch the whole thing. But if you want to rewatch the whole thing, that does help me out too. Guys, give the stream a like. I'll catch you on the next one, and have a good rest of your evening, and hopefully see you a little bit later in the rest of the week. See ya.